Happy new morning to all of you. Congratulations on surviving the cold night and morning and having reached the last day of our retreat. Now everybody should cry. But in our movement, crying is also ecstasy. So whether you smile or cry, it's all ecstasy. Very convenient. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Manitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Akhanda Manalakaram Vyapta Yena Characharam Tatpanam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhubya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yasya prasadat agyupi sadya sarvagyatam vrajat sashi chaitanya devo me bhagavan samprasidatu. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me, because by His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Existence is suffering, says the first noble truth of the Buddhists. By nature, by constitution, we are full of bliss, says Vaishnava philosophy. So which is it? How do you feel? Do you feel blissful? Do you feel miserable? Or is it mixed? Or what is it? And that truth about suffering is repeated also in Prabhuddha's teachings in Navayogendra's teachings in Canto 11, and this is the reason why we accept Bhagavad Dharma. Tasmad gurum prapadyata. Because no matter how you search in this material existence, no matter what you get anything and everything, and still we are miserable. Because Srila Prabhupada explains in Canto 1, our hunger, you're still hungry, our hunger is not material. As Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto says that in our heart we have a hole, a dark hole, and we try to fill it. We try to fill it with money. We try to fill it with houses, with family and relationships if we are more intelligent. But no matter what we put there, it sucks. It's very hard to translate. Because yeah, vacuum. Vacuum sucks, yes. but in English, sucks means also it's quite annoying. It doesn't satisfy. So, it sucks, yeah. Because Prabhupada says it, this hunger is not material. So, no material things, even heavenly, like relationships, cannot satisfy us. But there is a beautiful statement that this whole emptiness, vacuum in the heart, has a threefold bending shape. And if you put unlimited Krishna there, boom, it immediately completely fills that emptiness and we can be satisfied. And I'm sure this is your experience, at least for the first 3 months of Krishna consciousness. Now you should be laughing, no? Yes, we first get very beautiful mercy from Krishna. However, it produces unexpected side effects, which in psychological language are called inflation. We start, because this is so strange, because when we get this mercy from Krishna, what happens? I think I am great. Not Krishna is great, but I am great. It's quite amazing. Inflation. Which is, you know, okay, yes, all right, but it cuts us away from reality. So therefore, Krishna needs to give us the second kind of mercy. And this kind of mercy we do not always fully appreciate. This is called deflation. In our case, of course, Shivananda Sen didn't need deflation, but this is just an illustration of a very healthy moment in spiritual life where we shake off all the unnecessary burdens. There is a parable. There's one Ukrainian philosopher who was traveling and living like a monk, Skovoroda, his name was. So he wrote a parable about a frog and a snake. A frog sees a snake and says, "Dear snake, you look so beautiful. You used to be already very old, and now you all look completely new and fresh. It seems you have a fresh appearance." The snake says, "Yes, I have a new skin." He says, "How do you do this?" He says, the snake says, "Come, I'll show you." And he brings him to some rocks, narrow passage between the rocks, and says, you crawl between these two rocks, and they peel off your old skin. Have you ever seen an old skin of a snake somewhere around here? Yeah, you might have seen it. So that old, you know, dirty, decrepit skin is off and you have new. So the frog said, "Oh, that's interesting." So it pushed between the rocks. "Oh, no." And the other way, "Oh, no." And I said, "Ah, this is good enough." So it is oftentimes painful, but we remove the false things. So we call it suffering, but it has a very positive role. So in spiritual life, when we join, we first become ecstatic, and this is called in Madhurya Kadambini utsahamai. So utsaha, enthusiasm, we are very happy, we have lots of energy, we think we don't need to sleep. Like one of my friends, he says when he joined, Udharandatta, when he joined, then he thought, "Oh, I don't have winter boots." And when the winter comes, what will I do? You know, our temple is not so rich. And then he thought, "Well, anyway, it's still 6 months till winter. By that time, I will be self-realized. I will need no winter boots. I will be, you know, impervious. I will be I will not feel any cold." So that was the mood in the beginning. But then, Krishna, this is 4:29:69, uncovers Rahu, covering the moon, and that enthusiasm, exuberance, oftentimes is removed, and we see the shadow, something that we were denying and hiding from ourselves, and this is very painful. It can be as painful as hell, and it can last for years until we realize I am not this mind, and despite whatever is there, we stop trying to deny it, suppress it, fight it, and instead said, "Okay, I'm a demon, but I serve Krishna anyway. Okay, my mind is dirty, I serve Krishna anyway." So instead of denying these shadowy, dark, black things, we serve Krishna regardless, because nothing can stop bhakti. Ahaituki apratihata. Apratihata. Nothing can stop bhakti. Bhakti is unlike any other yoga. For every yoga, you need an entry qualification. Jnana, that's sannyas level. Jnana yoga. Karma yoga, even karma yoga, you need to be civilized. But bhakti yoga, even from Mrigari the hunter can become a devotee. We have even animals in Krishna consciousness. Garuda Purana is quoted in the second canto that insects can become devotees. And we know this, some of these amazing examples about animals in Krishna. There's a whole book. Jnananda Maharaj was here several days ago. Yeah, he wrote a book, Animals in Krishna Consciousness. Anybody from Malaysia here? One of my favorite stories there is the Malaysian cow, who found the temple, who came to the temple. You know the story? This cow started coming to the temple, and the cow liked the prasadam, of course. That's a very important element. And then the kirtans. The cow even was preaching. Once she brought her to, how you call it, heifers. Two other cows to show the temple. So she brought them to the kirtan. And they were looking around, you know, what is this? You know, and she was dancing, you know, and then she looked at them, hey, you move, you dance, this is kirtan, that's what you do here, this is a Hare Krishna temple. And when there was a class, she would sit down at the Mataji side, and she would sit, and if it was a class in Tamil, they speak Tamil, right? She would, or Telugu, what do they speak? Tamil in Malaysia. And she would sit and listen. And if the class was in English, she would do the usual thing, you know. And once the temple moved, and they couldn't inform her, she was not on Facebook. And so for 2 or 3 weeks she was not coming, and then some 2 or 3 weeks later she found them. She found them again. She went around asking. I don't know what she did, and she found them. And she was much leaner. I don't know, because of anxiety or what, or not her favorite type of sabji or in her diet. But she found the temple again. So there are many. Stories like this, and I'm sure you have seen some examples too. Like last year, there was a dog in Vrindavan. I was calling him Goralinga. He was in the morning. He was coming, bounding and jumping and leaping, very happy. And in the morning, he would usually offer obeisances. Whenever he, you know, first time would come, so I would become curious, I would offer obeisances to the dog. And as I tried it 5 times. Every time I offered obeisances to the dog, because Krishna says in the 11th canto that this is the best sadhana, 29th chapter, he says this is the best sadhana. Without any embarrassment, as soon as you see a dog, a cow, or a donkey, just offer obeisances to everybody. And this is the best sadhana to remove your false ego, envy, rivalry, abusiveness. So false ego towards seniors, equals, and juniors. Envy, rivalry, abusiveness. To offer obeisances to everybody. So I would offer obeisances to this dog, and the dog would immediately offer obeisances back. But that was a little problematic, because he would become so happy when I offered obeisances that he would start jumping, and he would try to jump on me. So I would chastise the dog. I know, it's saying, what are you doing, your Vrindavan dog? You understand, we are going to the temple. If you touch me, that's dirty. It's not supposed to be like this. Don't jump on people. And as I would chastise, he would again offer obeisances. Sorry, I what to do? So even, yeah, that's the power of bhakti. That bhakti accepts, that's the miracle of bhakti, that there is no obstacle to bhakti. And even if your mind is completely uncooperative and dirty and challenging, there is even a very unfortunate phenomenon, but very widespread. Some devotees have experienced this. It's very embarrassing, but there is something called sacrilegious obsession. Obsessive states. Yeah? Sacrilegious obsessive states. Obsessive states. Which means as soon as you start to think about something sacred, it tries to do something especially dirty in your mind. Some especially dirty picture in your mind invades. Yeah? And some devotees are totally exasperated by this. Oh, how can you be a devotee? You know, it's all about the mood. But nothing can stop devotional service. So you can say, yes, my mind is dirty. Yes, I'm dirty. Like, we can even be a demon. But I serve you anyway. I will do whatever I can. Anything. There is unlimited forms of devotional service, and we can do something. So as soon as we do this, as soon as we stop fighting the mind, denying different energies in the mind, then that's actually anartha nivritti, and this is actually nishta, and where sattva-gun develops, and where we become a sadhu and can meet God, and where we can experience real happiness, true happiness. And also where we can gain true energies, because all of these shadows, denied, repressed or suppressed, whatever you call them, energies rob us of our energy. This is why Upanishads were not usually taught to grihasthas, except like Ishopanishad, because sometimes we have this. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj says, we have a person who thinks, I should do bhakti, I should never indulge in any material activities, but I have no pure desires. I have no pure desires, I have only impure desires, and this I cannot do. And the pure desires I do not have. And so you get a paralysis. A person like paralyzed. This he shouldn't do, and this he doesn't want to do. So he does nothing. He's stuck, like in nowhere. So that's overcome by understanding that there is a yoga ladder, by understanding that you engage. Our process is not about vairagya, it's about yukta vairagya. It's using everything for Krishna. Engaging all your energies, you don't have to cut away any parts of yourself. We offer everything to Krishna. We have certain rules, but we use our energies of talents, all our talents, for Krishna, and we can serve Krishna no matter who we are, even if I am a cow or a dog or an insect. God forbid, Hare Krishna, which I am anyway, but. But for Krishna, that's not enough. Krishna wants more from us. So this is up to the level of bhava. You can go like this, but Krishna doesn't need just some kind of sage. Or Krishna wants you. Krishna wants unlimited bliss. You can feel bliss throughout. But Krishna wants you who you are, not a person with an ego of a sage. Yes, I see God. I'm the seer of God. Krishna says, oh yeah, okay. And then he hides. And you think, what's the matter? I already knew how to see God. I'm in sattva-gun. Where is God? And he's not there. And it's, what can be more painful than that? And this is for, actually this you have to earn. It's not cheap. This is sometimes called dark night of the soul, That Saint John of the Cross used to call it like that, and somehow Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj calls this like this, and it's a fitting name. We remember Narada Muni saw Krishna, then Krishna disappeared, and we even see the gopis. Actually, it's explained Munichari gopis, those who are just joining Krishna back in Vrindavan, and then Krishna hides, and so this is painful. But once you cross this initial moment of stopping your identification with the mind and serving Krishna independently of the fact that the mind doesn't want to cooperate, so that could have been hellish, because this is the internal suffering. It's the mind being dirty when you want to be loving. So I remember when I was going through this period, of course it's not so cut and dry, it may have variations and there are some fluctuations on the way, but I remember when after first year or two I was going through this period, I was reading the fifth canto, description of the hellish planets, and I thought, these hellish planets are better than what I'm going through. I'd better go there, because there I understand what's happening. Here I don't understand what's happening. Why is this happening to me? But after you go through, so here you do not tell the person, hey, why don't you control the mind? Shape up! Prabhu, you're in Maya! So here, basically, my bhakta leader told me, this is the time when you just go on. You just continue. Just be with devotees. Just chant. Just follow the principles. Just do seva. Just do something. Just go on. And as you go on, and despite, redirect your energies from fighting with the mind to serving Krishna. Then, after you go out of this period, then you would not exchange this hellish period for all the heavens. You realize that it was very valuable treasure, sweet treasure, because this allowed you to go much deeper than the mind. This depression allowed you to get a better realization of your spiritual nature and make a much deeper, realistic, true choice of Krishna. Not on the level of the mind or ego or something, but true choice. No, I serve Krishna no matter what. So then all of a sudden it turns out that this bitter period was the best gift and greatest treasure, and very sweet underlying current was in that period. They say tapa, austerity is the wealth of the brahmana. Yeah? You understand? Like Sudama and Krishna, when they met, what did Krishna remember? Krishna remember, do you remember when we were in that cold forest? When you tell your friends stories from your life, do you describe them? Oh, we were there, lost, there was this difficulty, that difficulty, such austerity. Do you share such stories? Or if you went through this with friends? So when, as you were going through this, that was tough. But after you have passed, that becomes your treasure. So again, like tests, exams. You know, you pass the exams, you put the diploma on your wall in the Western world. Yeah. Oh, this diploma, this degree, that degree. These are all degrees of difficulties. So much nerves lost in those exams and, you know, in all those thesis, defending your thesis and everything, right? But after you pass, after that, you are happy you did it. You're very happy you did it. Jalaluddin Rumi, an interesting Sufi poet who speaks sometimes about bhakti, some type of bhakti, and even about worshipping the image of God. He says that suffering is the proof in the court of love. So if you have to go to the court and you have to present evidence, we had a loving affair with Krishna. Krishna loves me. God is my friend. Krishna loves me. They will say, What's your evidence? How can you prove God loves you? So Jalaluddin Rumi says, you bring your suffering and show your suffering, and then they will say, oh, he gave you this test. Okay, yeah, that means he loves you. That's true. So as he gives the example, as the housewife takes the carpet out to clean the carpets. How do you clean the carpet? You beat it. You put it out on the rope and you beat it with a stick or that special thing. You know, you beat the carpet strong. Whoever beat the carpet? Did you hate the carpet? So Rumi says, when the carpet is beaten, it's not the carpet that is beaten. It's the dust beaten out of the carpet. So he says, dear son, don't complain that God beats out dust out of you. It's out of love for you. He wants to make you clean. So next time you feel you're clean, you just relax and release the dust. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Let it go, let it go. What's the dust? Dust is, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am popular. I have to be approved in the positive way. Or the negative way, I am a victim. I am a sufferer. You know, Prabhu, it's always like this in my life. Yes, I always. Again, this happens to me. Or I am the worst. I am the worst. I am the most disgusting. Yeah, not disgusting, but the most disgusting. Yeah. So release all of these false ego conceptions. The sooner we release, so this is the solution practically to all the problems. If you have a tough period, Sarasvati, Saturn going over your moon, Hare Krishna, everybody in India fear Sarasvati. Terrible, terrible. Yes. But Shani is a guru, and if basically he just needs to teach us three lessons: humility, detachment, and respect. So if you immediately practice humility, detachment, and respect, bas, there's nothing he will do to you. There's nothing for him to take away from you. It's just humility, detachment, and respect. This is the answer. This is the cure for all problems from all the astrological periods, all the lessons we need to go through that may be tough. So that's releasing that's surrender. It's called surrender. It's called anartha nivritti. Releasing the false ego. I'm the enjoyer or sufferer. I am the controller or victim. I am the number one friend of everybody. Popular friend of everybody, everybody should approve me. Or I am the hooligan, the hoodlum, the very bad, dangerous, disgusting person, anti-hero. So, releasing this, at any rate, famous or notorious. Yeah? So the sooner we do this, the sooner we move through this abyss. But then there is more. So when gopis dance with Krishna, you know, there are two periods there. First suffering, you know, that some gopis could not leave their house. You know this, yes? That Krishna started playing the flute. And when he was playing the flute, every gopi heard her name. And they hear, Rasa Sindhu Gopal, gopi come. Kamala Kanta, gopi come. Me, Madhavananda, me. And they try to run. And some of them are stopped. Krishna called you by your name and you cannot go. So it is described in the Bhagavatam that the suffering, they died. The verse actually says they died. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it was even worse. They would die on spot, but they couldn't because it would spoil the festival. So they couldn't even die because that would be inauspicious for the Rasa festival. You know. But what happened, they died 1,000 deaths in their agony. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that when people in general hear of the gopis' extreme agony in separation from their beloved, they abandon thousands of inauspicious things, things even as fearsome as the subterranean fires of millions of universes. So thousands of hells. So just hearing that about that suffering liberates you from thousands of hells, millions of hells. It's more fearsome than millions of hells. And then what did they do? They meditated on Krishna in their heart. And as they meditated on Krishna in their heart, they pictured the beautiful form of Krishna. They pictured his peacock feather, his flute, his smile. Krishna is always smiling in every picture. There's no picture of Krishna, there's no meditation, there's no image of Krishna without a smile. And it's a kind smile, it's a merciful smile. Yes? And they meditated on Krishna, and then Krishna embraced them. And they felt inundated with bliss. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that they experienced such a great joy by embracing his body, which was full of transcendental love for them, that joy made all their good fortune, both material and spiritual, seem paltry by comparison. And when you hear about that, you lose attention, you lose attraction to millions of heavens. So just hearing about this is purifying. And then, of course, next time they could join Krishna in his dance, in his rasa dance. So this is that period. But even in those who were with Krishna, you know that there was a point when they felt we are the best women in the universe. Which makes sense, right? It's probably correct, right? I mean, not probably, definitely correct. Isn't it? And what happened then? Krishna just boom and disappeared. We are laughing, huh? But if you were there. So that was, again, it was so painful. But what was the result? So this is... So Krishna, when Krishna came back, we hear the description of their madness in search for Krishna. And when Krishna came back, they tried to question him. How, you know, Krishna, what are different types of lovers? Some lovers reciprocate, some don't. This was a little accusatory questioning. They accused him. Yes. So Krishna explained, yes, there are different kinds of lovers. Some are ungrateful. Some are just reciprocating equally. And some love, actually in the middle, he calls them sumadhyama, slender-waisted, and the best category also is in the middle. Those who love regardless of reciprocation. Yatatathavavidadhatu. These are the best. But then he says, but as far as I'm concerned, then he says, Naham tu sakyo bhajatopi jantun bhajamyanisha manuvritti vrittaye yatha dhano labda dane vinashte ta chintayanyan nibrito na veda. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me or chant Hare Krishna, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary. O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. And what's the source of ecstasy of the gopis? Is it Krishna's reciprocation or is it their love? What's the happiness of the gopis? Krishna's reciprocation or their love? Their love. Their love. Yes. What is the most difficult thing in this world is to bring up, raise children. What is the biggest happiness in this world, according to the studies of the American scientists, questioning different people? Having children. I mean, love for children. Yeah. It's so much work that Veda says you cannot actually repay the parents. You cannot. It's too much sacrifice. The only way is just pay forward. Have your children. Yeah? And then the parent, yeah, like, you know, in the, what was that? The the woman says, "Mother, why do you give my son that water gun? Don't you remember what we did when we had water guns in our house?" So the grandmother says, "Oh yeah, I do." Very well. So pay forward, yes. Or serve the whole world. So love, and whose affection, whose happiness is stronger? I mean, whose attachment is stronger? The parents' attachment to children or children's attachment to parents? Parents. But who is giving more? Parents are giving more. That's the, so the love is in giving and happiness is in giving. This is also what Krishna says at the end of this chapter. Na parayeham. So asadu krityam. So he says, I cannot repay, so you please be happy by the love itself. This is the source of actual happiness. So they then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it. Somebody was poor and then became a billionaire and then lost everything. Like in 2008, there was a German businessman who was something like a billionaire, and then he lost some money, and he had only something like 180 million euros left. Only 180 million euros left. And that was intolerable to him. And he stepped in front of a train. Only 180 million. Hare Krishna. Sorry. By mentioning him, we are giving him some bhakti punya, okay, right? But we use his example in a class, so let him be benefited. Thank you, Gopinath. So if a poor man didn't have anything and continues to have nothing, that's it's nothing special. But if you had and lose, that's painful. Also in relationships. They say this is what actually drives this, what they call them, codependent, when the husband is an alcoholic or something. What makes it more difficult is when he's sometimes very nice and sometimes very bad. So that makes them crazy, makes the wife crazy. Because if he's consistently bad, she just leaves. But if he's sometimes super nice and sometimes super bad, all the plans go haywire. Don't know what to do, and it drives people crazy. But, yes, so if a poor man had wealth and then loses it, he does become so anxious about it that he cannot think of nothing else. But in case of Krishna, Krishna is transcendental, and love for Krishna is transcendental. So by this, you think about Krishna all the time, and in fact, it's the source of all good fortune and source of the top happiness and top blessings and top ecstasy. So this is where the gopis, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, this is where the gopis thought, Krishna, we didn't know. We thought you are not a good lover, you're not a sensitive person by leaving us, but now we see that you love us so much that you wanted us to feel even more happiness through more love, that you were even ready to sacrifice the association and you left us. So this is even more than we could do. So your love is even stronger than ours. You are more ready to sacrifice the happiness of association to make us happier through increasing our love, through increasing our eagerness. This is where the gopis admit. They questioned sarcastically. They questioned Krishna. What kind of lover are you? You know, so there are different kinds, three kinds. So he explains, and then after that they say, oh, actually your love is higher than ours. But of course, Krishna ends this chapter by saying, Naparayeham niravadya samyajam. I cannot repay you. But then he goes on and does actually repay by coming as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu to glorify by assuming the same mood of compassion, of love for Krishna, and compassionately distributing to all of us, which I propose to celebrate by inhaling deeply, raising our arms, and lovingly and very, very loudly saying, Gauranga! And also Nityananda! Because Gauranga has accepted the mood of Jai Jai Shri Radhe! So it has meaning. Even when it seems Krishna does not reciprocate, not reciprocating. It is a reciprocation also. And not necessarily a negative one. Of course, the response is always the same, giving up the false ego. Oh, I am such an advanced devotee, I am a good meditator, I am whatever. Huh? And even the sattvic devotional so-called spiritual but false ego. Krishna doesn't need. He wants you. He doesn't need you to be God seer. He wants you to be yourself, divine associate of Krishna. He doesn't need just another saint in this world to be subtly proud of his sainthood. He wants you to be completely pure with him. So this is also mercy. It's a second kind of mercy, but this deflation is very necessary. It's very necessary. Otherwise, how do we advance? So therefore, even sadness, depression, it may have a very positive role in our life. We don't like it. Nobody likes it. And we sometimes are confused about what's happening, especially because, about this thing, we never speak on Sunday feasts, this one. Yeah, you don't say on Sunday feasts, yeah, you join, yeah, and then you suffer like hell. And then again, you are happy, then boom, you suffer like million hells. Yeah. Usually Sunday feasts, we don't speak about it. Yeah? For a good reason. But among devotees, it has to be discussed, because I remember I was very confused here. I thought something is wrong either with the process, with bhakti. Maybe with me, maybe. I don't know. But most probably with my bhakta leader. I think something's wrong with my bhakta leader. That's either because he is polluting me by his association, or I am degrading by thinking that he is polluting me by his association. And then this loop, mental loop, he's polluting, I am degrading because of him. No, I cannot think like this because I am degrading because of such thoughts. But if I stay with him, I am polluted by his association. It's like, it is a downward spiral. You know, and you go mad. But if you understand that this is a, you know, time for, it's a therapy. It's a therapy of deflation, of thinning your false ego, thinning our false ego to stop identifying with the mind and to serve Krishna regardless of the mind's moods and swings. As very famous Daniel Goleman, EQ, emotional quotient. Oh, IQ does not predict your success in life. No, no. If you're very intelligent, no guarantee. The most the top IQ in the world, you know, there's one lady in England, what's her IQ? 200 something. Yeah, she's unemployed, has no job. What to do? So, you read it? There was an article about this, they found her. So Daniel Goleman said, oh no, what actually predicts your success in life and happiness is EQ, emotional quotient. What's emotional quotient? It's your ability to deal with your emotions, to deal with your mind, to act, to not be swayed by all of these waves of the mind, and being able to interact and move forward. So in spiritual life, Krishna helps us with that. So the answer is to shed, to give up, to surrender, to give up, to become more humble, detached, and respectful. Be with devotees, thank Krishna, find what's positive in it. What's how it is mercy, as we mentioned yesterday. Tateno kampam, susamikshamano. Anybody tried actually over the last 24 hours? Anybody tried to thank Krishna for something or find? Yeah, thank you. Thank for something that's happening to you. And thank you very much. I love that those who raise the hands usually smile. That's a good sign. Yes. Those who didn't, please look at the smiling faces and do. It works. Yes. So, Inuit shamans have a practice. They put a prospective shaman in some secluded place, in a tent, somewhere in the snow or something like this, and he undergoes very painful crisis. It's sort of deconstruction of his personality. This person feels like he is destroyed, attacked by thousands of demons who eat each bone of his body. And then the elders come and help him put himself back together as a new person and a shaman. That's the initiation for them. And they ask, which demons came? Did this one come? Yeah. This one came? Yes. Did that one come? Yes. So those demons that came, he can cure people from the diseases caused by that demon, by that spirit. And if some demon didn't come, that disease he may not be able to cure. So when you go through these difficulties, then if you pass that test, you will be able to help others also. So this is another positive effect of such difficulties, that you... It may be painful, but you will be able to help others with a similar pain later as you pass through it. Because you have experience, you have personal experience. So for me, this was a personal experience. You know, when I was, it was very magical. It was actually before initiation, this meeting my mind. I was in the cellar, in the basement, this stinky basement of my mind. And then my Guru Maharaj just came to Sweden, where he rarely comes. And in just 2 or 3 days, he did something incredible. Usually, I was very skeptical about transformation, about magic during initiation. Because people say, don't expect too much, right, from that. But what Gopal Krishna Maharaj did at that time, that was nothing less than a miracle for me. Because... in overnight, there were a few more tests, and then there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough where actually I sort of felt a certain freedom from my mind. And then in the morning of initiation, this was the verse that was on the board, on the Bhagavatam, 10:10:14, which everything was magical on that day. Everything. Every single moment was incredible. And life was never the same for me. I'm eternally indebted to my Guru Maharaj for that. So that was the verse on the board, which also explained that same point. Yatha kandaka vidhango jantor nechatitam vyatham jiva samyam gato lingair na tatha vidha kandaka. This is from Nalakovara Manigriva story. And Narada Muni says that by seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pin-pricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. So, and at the end, Nalakovara Manigriva, when Krishna breaks down Yamala and Arjuna trees, this is what they ask. Jagan Nivasa, Tava Praname. They ask, may our heads always be bowed down to everybody in the universe as your temple, as your shelter, as your abode. And Bhagavatam throughout repeats this, to respect everybody as Krishna's temple. Also, 9th chapter of the Gita, Prabhupada mentions this. Respect everybody as Krishna's temple. So this is what they ask, and they understand. As I mentioned, this is for internal use. It's not that when somebody suffers, we come and say, "Ah, yeah, this is Krishna's mercy. You are suffering. Very good. Yeah, that's Krishna's mercy to you." Yeah, we want to show compassion to others, and also be compassionate to ourselves. What means compassion? You know, this is what this verse says. That you understand the pain of others. And compassion, this is a Latin word, com means together, and passion means suffer. You see also in other languages, mit leid, together, suffer. So stradanie, together, suffer. It's, you know, and this is, there's a beautiful quote in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where, okay, here's a shorter version. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, compassion doesn't have a separate existence from bhakti. This is a very powerful statement. Basically, what he says is that compassion is bhakti and bhakti is compassion. Maybe not completely equal, but it's non-different. The quality which, when offered to the Lord, is called bhakti or prema, becomes friendship, compassion, and indifference when directed towards other living entities. It is a feeling that is inherent in the eternal nature of the soul. In a spiritual realm, this quality manifests only as friendship, maitrim, or loving-kindness in modern parlance, in modern New Age language. Loving-kindness, that's maitrim, metta. But in the material world, it manifests as friendship towards devotees, sadhus, pious people. Mercy towards the innocent, means those who don't know better, and indifference towards the offenders, haters, and even demons. Not hating back, but indifference, neutrality, being neutral towards offenders. And just these three attitudes, these are Bhagavad Dharmas, these three attitudes, they liberate from all suffering. According to Narada Muni, 4.8.34. It says, if you just practice these three attitudes, misery cannot touch you. It cannot touch you. If somebody is doing something wrong, but they just don't know better, show compassion. Equals you find and make friends with them. That's your activity. That's what you do. It's mercy of Krishna, but this is, you make friends. If you are a friend, you have friends. How to have friends? You need one vitamin. B1. B1. Yeah? If you are respectful, if you are kind, if you are serving, if you are assisting, if you are friendly, and most important, forgiving, tolerant to your friend, you have a friend. You have a friend. All right? So that's why Madhyam Bhakta, Yah Karoti Samadhyama, Maitrim. That's an action. It's not that it just happens to you that you get friends. Yeah, it'll be easier if you have worked on it before, but it's what you do. It's your practice. It's our sadhana. It's what our task is. Okay, so amazingly enough, Bhaktivinoda Thakur shows that all these four things are all bhakti. Sometimes I try to scare devotees, infuse them with healthy fear that if you don't have friends, you cannot be a devotee. If you don't have friendship in Krishna consciousness, you cannot be considered a devotee. Because this is what Chaitanya Charitamrita says. Kanishta Bhakta is Bhakta Praya, he's a candidate, he's a shadow, Bhakta Bhas. And Madhyam Bhakta, that's where you are actually a Bhakta. And Madhyam Bhakta, that's where you consciously practice these four things. And out of them, the most difficult one is to accept somebody is my equal. Okay, somebody higher, okay, somebody lower, all right. Compassion and, yes, Maharaj, and but equal, you have to accept, and then you have to respect, and then you have to tolerate. And speak about Krishna. Then you are a Madhyam Bhakta, then you are a Bhakta. As Yadunandan Maharaj, in his master thesis, he studied sannyasi fall-downs in ISKCON, and he interviewed all of them. I mean, not all of them, many of them. And he found that primary reason for their problems was isolation. Isolation. There are some cases when they were very... everything was okay. It's just that they were isolated. They never practiced this developing, cultivating, making friends, cultivating friendships. So, this is what a devotee does. All right. So to conclude at the end, so we thank Krishna, we react by giving up the false ego, which manifests as humility, detachment, and respect. And false ego is expressed as desire. So the gopis at the end said that they quote Pingala. They say, Param saukyam hi nairashyam. Giving up false expectations, giving up all desires. Yeah? So that's false ego, nairashyam. And this is also what Pingala. Oops, what is this? Hare Krishna. Yes, no problem, no problem. Yes. Oh, yeah. Things. Yes. Pingala says, Asha hi paramam dukham. Hopes, expectations, and desires are the supreme misery and suffering. Ganguly's translation. Mahabharat, Yaksha questioning Yudhishthir, what's pride? He said, Ganguly translates, Yudhishthir answers, pride is to think I suffer. Because it means I think I deserve better. So Asha is expectations, is supreme. Like you are probably expecting I would have ended at 8:20, right? But I didn't, already 3 minutes over. So some of you may be dissatisfied because of the false expectations. Knowing me, you would have known that I would go a little bit over time. Sorry, Hare Krishna. And Nairashyam Paramam Sukham. and giving up freedom from such freedom from these expectations, desires, hopes, paramam sukham, supreme happiness, is the second, this third noble truth of Buddhism. Yeah, existence, material existence, we would say, is suffering. Desires are the cause of suffering. Giving up desires is the cure. This is what Pingala says. This is what the gopis confirm. But we have the positive. We have the positive alternative. We have the positive alternative because because we have a friend. Krishna is the supreme friend. Yes. Narada Muni says, Savai priyatamashchatma yato na bhayamanvapi iti vedasavai vidvan yovidvan sagurur hari. Krishna is the dearmost friend of every soul from whom there is not even an anu, an atom, the smallest drop to be feared. Itiveda, if you know this, you know everything. You are a scholar. If you know this, you are a guru and you are next to Hari. Just knowing this, Krishna is my dearest friend. Stop blaming him. And instead glorify him. He's a friend. He's a lover. Gopis agreed. Even though nobody, millions of hells pale compared to their agony. But they admit that Krishna is the highest lover. Nobody is more tender and loving than Krishna. And he's the friend of every living entity. So this is what we learn, to accept every kind of mercy, every flavor of mercy as mercy. That's the art of a devotee. To say, yes, this is mercy, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. You're helping me. You're helping me to come closer to you, to become myself. And you're my friend. You're fair, kind, and friendly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Okay, those who are hungry, and those who want to ask questions, you're welcome. Yes, please. Mataji says that what if you feel you've never been pinpricked? Anybody has a pin? Let's go pinpricker. Mataji, don't worry. It will come. As Prabhupada says, you don't need to invent extra austerity. It's enough. Just, Mahamantra. Highest austerity is full focus on Krishna, being kind to everybody, and accepting even haters, at least with neutrality. And life has enough austerity as it is. And just performing bhakti to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says this is enough. He says, our tapasya is studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. He doesn't call for some extra tapasya. Exactly. That's how the mind catches you. Yes. How do I know? Maybe Krishna did turn away from me. Yeah. He says here, I'm not reciprocating because it's my reciprocation. But that's for him, because he's a nice devotee. But I am a rascal. I'm a rascal. I do offenses. So it's because of my offenses. So how can what do? I don't know what's the lesson. So what to do? I must do something. I must do something. And I don't know what. And he's turning away. He's not telling me. It's because of my offense. I'm lost. I'm finished. Everything is hopeless. No hope. I'm lost. A very natural thought. And the mind will tell you this, definitely. The mind will tell you, yes, you're hopeless. Forget about it. What's the answer? We say, yes, I am hopeless. Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam. Yes, Krishna, you may crush me in your embrace. You want to be crushed in Krishna's embrace? That sounds like a very good thing. Or marmahatam. Adarshanan marmahadam karotu. Or you can kill me in the most painful way, adarshanan, by never showing yourself to me. Can you say this? Oh my God, never showing yourself to me? Kill me in a painful way? I don't subscribe to that. Natradharani says, yes, if you don't want, if you think that's what you want to do, yes, don't show yourself to me. Yatatatha vavidadhatu lampato. Okay, she slips in one word, lampato. Okay, that's your playful nature. Mat prananatas tu saivanapara. I serve you anyway. We are eternally part of Krishna. Krishna is eternally the absolute truth. We are connected eternally, and that connection is bhakti. So this is one safe bet, one safe thing. You are connected to Krishna. You have the right to do bhakti. Always. And this is mercy of devotees and Krishna and Guru Parampara, but your decision. Mercy has been given. Now your decision. Yes. Even if the mind is and this and that and those, I serve anyway. I am rascal, offender, demon. I will work. I'm trying to work on it. I'm doing something, but I continue. What's the remedy for offensive japa, according to Srila Prabhupada's sixth canto? Keep chanting. Keep chanting. Go on. Never stop. Like some people say, oh, my mantra is so offensive, I better don't. I stop. What's the point of offensive japa? Better not to chant. It's not what Padma Purana says. Yeah? Aparada, namaparada yuktani. How does it go? Please remind me. If avishranti prayuktani tani varta karanicha, that the remedy for offensive chanting is avishranti, is incessant chanting. Never, don't stop. You go on. You accept like even apichat sudurācharo, yeah. And in that verse that was quoted yesterday, Maharaj quoted it. That Maharaj quoted it. That prito. Tata prito, that one should happily continue. So the devotee says, let me go to hell for my offenses and my mistakes, but I will not give up bhakti. And that's the mood that will carry us, that will deflate the false ego, that will disarm the mind, and will carry us through the abyss of depression, dejection, and all of those difficulties in our life. That's a good thing. Soul is a bhakta. You cannot rob. This is something that cannot be taken away from us. There can be a pause, there can be a break because of some mistakes, but if you want to serve, you will have. You can. Offenses may make it difficult. Should I tell you another terrifying thing? You're strange. Why do you... Why do you have such strange taste? Okay, you asked for it. I'm telling it. Skanda Purana, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, quoting. If you make 100 offenses as a bhakta, person who makes 100 offenses becomes a hypocrite. Cannot be fully honest. If one makes 1,000 offenses, this person cannot follow the principles. Strict principles. If one performs 10,000 offenses, one cannot do bhakti. He loses taste. He loses taste to bhakti. Shaithilya is cool. If no taste, no enthusiasm, no inspiration. Scared? Good. You've asked for this. However, even if despite tastelessness, you say, yes, I'm an offender, sorry, what to do, I'm very sorry, but I will try to do something anyway. Yes, no taste, no heart, no nothing. No proper attitude. But Krishna, you are anyway mat prananatas. I do anyway. They will fall off. They will be purified. That's how do you purify? I mean, it says, and a sin or an offense performed in the dham cannot be purified in... Yes, by the way, we could have started the recording again. Yes, that's true. Anyway, cannot be purified in any way outside the dham. If you make anything improper here, it cannot be purified by any measure outside Vrindavan or outside the holy dham. Okay, we have a hope for Mayapur. Okay, maybe that will help. So this is why Vrindavan acts in such a funny way. This is why you have instant karma here, so-called instant reaction, right? Because this is mercy. Because if you leave not having atoned, it's you're stuck. So that's why here sometimes you get reaction like in a split second, like in a millisecond. You just start thinking a wrong thought, boom. Have you had this experience here? So that's very useful for learning. You get instant feedback. Instant feedback, that's the best tool for learning. Instant feedback. Instant feedback. So Vrindavan is the top guru. Or gurvi, or, you know. female guru. Vrindavan is Radharani. A form of Radharani. So it's also mercy, even if it doesn't taste sweet. So we continue. So, okay, after this little session, we will have an exam, which lasts all your life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Krishna is our friend.